I was doing something and all of a sudden a thought just appeared in my mind.
A what? A thought.
A thought. And it wasn't a good one, and I was thinking to myself, well, one, I was all right a minute ago, now this thing has just come and in my mind and just caused me some problems. So I was thinking, well, now the intelligence, I have to fight with it, and now that got me thinking, well, is there anything that I can do to actually check the thoughts before they arrive at the in the intelligence? Because by the time they arrive in, they arrive at my intelligence, my mind's gone. So I was wondering if there was any way to sort of arrest the desires before they get to the platform of intelligence. And I'm trying to be vigilant, but that doesn't seem to be good enough, because as soon as my vigilance stops, they come again and they've met the intelligence and I've got to fight with them as to fulfill them or not to fulfill them, as the case may be.
You have to purify the heart so that there's no desire. Then you don't have to fight, you don't have to evade anything. And there's no problem. So until one purifies the heart from material desires, then it's a constant battle with the mind, using the intelligence and the senses. There's no alternative. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness, and cleansing the heart is only possible by chanting the holy name, regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitadarpana Marjana. And then if the heart is clean, then only desires are for Krishna's service. Those are good desires. Those are wanted. But while desires are there, then out of nowhere they will just surface, just like if, I guess in the Lake District it's like that, but if you ever go to the lakes, particularly lakes that are surrounded by many trees, trees, leaves fall into the water and form on the bottom, and they become like a real sort of mush, and they rot and they make gas, and then sometimes out of nowhere this gas just bubbles up and you just see it just in there all of a sudden. If you're going fishing, you think, oh, it's a fish, but it's not a fish, it's just these bubbles of gas that are coming up. And so it's like that, the mind is like that, it's full of all kinds of sediment. And the consequence of that is that just these thoughts come out as a consequence of the desires. So the only thing to do is you have to, just like you have to dredge a lake, you have to clean the heart. But it's easier dredging lakes than it is cleaning your heart. Dredge a lake, you just hire someone with a crane and they clean it up. There's no cranes for cleaning hearts. And you can't get someone else to do it for you, you have to do it for yourself. It's the basic condition. So those activities, Shravan Kirtan, Kariya Sechan, by chanting the holy name of the Lord especially, and by hearing it and also hearing Krishna's glories, progressively the heart becomes pure. But without doing that, you can't get rid of them. They're there forever. Nasti eva. There's no other way. And that's why, in a very fundamental sense, when even in Srila Prabhupada's time, there was this, there was an oil crisis, just like there's an oil crisis right now, first time in history. It's over $100 a barrel. That's a lot. That's a lot. And anyway, there was an oil crisis at that time in Prabhupada's time. It may have been only $35 a barrel at that time. So a news reporter asked him, what is the solution for the oil crisis. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. Newspaper reporters said, I think that's a simplistic answer. Prabhupada said, no, it is the answer. And because why do you have an oil crisis? You have an oil crisis because people are, due to their consumer mentality, exploiting the earth, exploiting the world, and they're constantly coming into so many problems as a consequence of unwanted desires. So the only way they're going to eradicate the problems that come out of unwanted desires is not to solve the problems, because solving a problem that arises from desire isn't a solution. The solution is getting rid of false desires. So therefore, the only way of doing that is by chanting Hare Krishna. So it is the answer, but that's not the answer that materialistic people want to hear. They don't want ultimate solutions, they just want immediate solutions to problems so that they can continue satisfying their desires. Well, our solution is you have to get rid of the desire. Once you get rid of false desires, you're not going to have any material problems. But as long as you do, no matter how many problems you solve, your desires will continue to create more and more problems. And so they solved the oil crisis then, but then why have we got an oil crisis now? And we've had so many in between. And there'll really be an oil crisis when it runs out. It's really going to be a crisis. But they've got it worked out how they're going to replace it with either nuclear, atomic power, or solar energy. But that still won't be a solution. Because the problem of overconsumption, the problems of waste, the problems of exploitation come due to lust and greed. And unless you get lust and greed out of your heart, these problems are going to continue coming. They've come since time immemorial, and they'll continue to come. So, that's our business, cleaning the heart.
How can we gain the desire to get rid of the unwanted desires more quickly?
More quickly?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about more, but everything that you do, if you do something well, you get a better result. If you do it mediocre, you may get no result. Depends on what you're doing. If you're driving a car in a mediocre way, you may end up dead. So there's not much alternative to good driving. There's no such thing as bad driving. You just be dead driving. So better be a good driver. Similarly, in spiritual life, mediocre doesn't get you very far. Therefore, it's meant to be attentive, because the process is very, very exacting, very demanding. It's serious. It's not an easy thing. Controlling the mind, controlling the senses. These things are... people are willing to do anything in this world. So Hiranyakashipu, he was willing to stand in an anthill for Lord knows how long. He was there, 10,000 years. But he's not willing to control his senses. Because by comparison, that was easy. And so did so many others. So people are performing all kinds of austerities today, but anything but controlling the senses and actually giving up unwanted desires. Well, they'll do anything but that, because that's what this world is based on. Chintana parimeyam cha. Satyam apatishtam te jagadahura nishparam. And we need to do things well. Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like flying an airplane. I think I must have told you there was one of Haridas's nephews. His name is, I forgot his name. He's not going to be listening to this. But I'll remember it because it's not a new thing that I forget things. Anyway, he was working for BA, and he was, you know, if you're an airplane, he's the person who's going around and checking everything on the plane before the plane gets the go ahead to take off. And in his training for that work, there's only one passing mark, and that's 100%. And those who don't get 100%, they don't get the job. Because it isn't that the plane 99% takes off, and 1% doesn't. It's either it takes off or it doesn't. So the only people he passed, he worked, the only people who get the job are those who get 100%. Otherwise, you don't get the job. That's pretty high standard, because it's 300 people sitting in an airplane. They don't want to know someone did 90%. He was pretty good, but 10% of the time. And you may be part of the 10%. So they want to know that, you know, this person always gets us off the ground and doesn't make mistakes. So it's like that. 100%, pretty good score. Sanjay. Because Krishna's a little more lenient than BA. So if you're doing 99, that's not bad. Or even 90. He goes a lot for the effort, because he's already flying high anyway. He's not dependent on us to keep him in the air. Anyone else? What's the time now?
Yesterday you said something like when we chant, maybe we get a taste, and that could be a reflection, you know. So I was wondering, how can we identify with the real thing?
It's real, just like a reflection is real, but the real taste one gets from the chanting when the heart is pure, and the chanting when one gets when the heart is not pure is a reflection of that, or a shadow of that real thing. It's still also real. A shadow is also real, but it's a shadow. It's a shadow of the real thing. And considering that it's that shadow that's keeping us in Krishna consciousness, then that gives you an indication of how good the real thing is. But if you don't even get that from Drishtani Vartate, then you have trouble. Because everyone needs to experience something. Everyone needs some kind of taste. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya deyina rasa varjam rasa. Everyone wants rasa vayasa. We are, by constitution, pleasure-seeking entities. So we have to get pleasure. If we don't get pleasure in something, we don't do it. At least not for long. So there has to be some taste. Everything has to have taste. And there's two types of taste. There's the taste of matter, and there's the taste of the spirit. So if you get the taste of the spiritual, then you can refrain from the taste of the material, because it is param drishva, because it is of a higher quality. It's a better taste. If if you're addicted to carob, then you start eating chocolate. And you lose your taste for carob. I hope no one has experience with that. Because carob is just artificial chocolate. It's not quite the same thing. So similarly, if you have a higher spiritual taste, then you can give up the lower material taste. But if you're not getting even the shadow of that spiritual taste, then one has to go back then to material life, because that's how we sustain ourselves, that's what we live for. Everyone's got to get something, have a dry life. So we've got to get something out of life. And